Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On this week's episode of Barbecue and Tech, let's talk about the challenges of smoking 18 racks of ribs, which many of us don't have a smoker large enough to do, but fortunately we do have a clown on this show that actually does. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner in crime and co-host, Chris Ashley.
What's up?
Now, Chris, just before we get into this, I think we should take a moment because we've been very blessed that Mason Dixon Barbecue Services has allowed us to review not one, but we're reviewing the second smoker, and it would be kind of bad on our part not to get the first review out before. So,
yeah,
the first unit we reviewed was the Old Country cabinet style smoker.
Which
retails at about $15.49 on the Mason Dixon website. We'll make sure we include a link to the smoker. But we had, I think, like four or five cooks that we did on the smoker.
Definitely
some mishaps with the controller, but that I still feel like we can evaluate the smoker. So, you ready to jump into it?
Yeah, let's do this. So let's get a nice little summary here. So I would personally definitely recommend this smoker to somebody who's upgrading from like a Home Depot bought or, you know, Lowe's bought smoker, and they're trying to get to the next level, but they're not trying to make that jump out the window. I definitely think this would be a great smoker for folks to upgrade into, just because overall, it performed pretty darn well and made us some really good barbecue. With that said, the Old Country cabinet style gravity smoker, just so folks understand, you know, this is the type of smoker that I have personally, which is a gravity smoker. I believe Stumps actually does own the patent for gravity smokers, and I own a Stump smoker. What essentially happens is you have it's still an offset smoker for all intents and purposes. The heat comes from one side of the smoker and goes into a cook chamber. But the difference is that the charcoal is loaded at the top of the smoker and gravity pulls the charcoal down. And there's a grate inside the chute where you fill the charcoal in, where the charcoal rests. You would light the charcoal under the grate. And then the embers from that charcoal falls to the under the grate, and under that grate is the final pan that has your flavored wood, you know, your apples, your hickories, your oak, whatever you choose to smoke with that day. And those embers then light the wood underneath, and together that heat and that smoke and that flavor is pulled into the chamber where your food is cooked. So really good idea, because the main advantage to this, any offset really, is, you know, you don't have to disturb the cook to add more fuel to the fire. But even more importantly, you don't even have to really face the fire as much, because you can just pour charcoal in the top and keep it going. You don't really disturb much when you do that. The only time you need to open up the fire part is when you need to add more wood. So overall, this thing is set up really, really well to get the job done. This particular one we tested was on the bigger side. So you really have about 1,082 square inches of cooking surface, which equates to four levels of four different racks to smoke on. It has a nice, pretty solid industrial clamp on both the on all three, the charcoal chamber at the top, the firebox portion at the bottom right, and the actual door itself has this nice little industrial clamp to keep that thing as tight as possible.
And it's the closing mechanism is the same closing mechanism you have on your stumps, right?
Correct.
So just one correction. I think there's only three cooking levels in the smoker. Unless I'm mistaken, I thought there was only three cooking levels from what I remembered.
I thought there were four, but okay. I'll have a picture of it. I'll take a look at it. But yeah. So, and all the trays actually slide out. So that makes loading food significantly easier, especially, you know, if you're doing something like chicken and you're smoking at a higher temp, you know, plenty of times I'm rushing and I won't pull the trays all the way out and I'll definitely, get a little burn. So, it reminds me, hey, the trays pull out. So on this thing, I'm glad to see that you can pull out the trays as well, or the grates, and then load your food in or out. So
for me, the downside of pulling out the trays in this particular one, was that you really had to swing the door wide. Like, I felt that they could have given a little bit more berth for that door. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't open the door super wide, like actually pushing the hinge back from the, like if you opened it just to a 90-degree angle, you try to pull it out, the rack hits the door. You actually have to open the door a little bit long or wider, almost to 180 degrees,
right?
So the rack slides clean out without hitting the door.
That was the first negative thing. And this thing has positives and negatives, and that definitely was the first negative thing that we encountered during the smoke, is that they should have allowed a little bit more space, because most of the times those doors are pretty heavy, and once you start cooking on them a lot, the hinges will get a little bit greasy and it may not just open up easily. So when we open it, sometimes you're just like, I just need to open it just a little bit and then get these racks in and out. But unfortunately, it's a little bit tight in here, the design. So when you open the door, like Rod said, if you don't open it, slightly past 90, the rack will hit the door as you're trying to pull it out. And Rod was 100% correct. It is three racks, not four, on this bad boy. So the second negative we came across, and it didn't seem to affect it too much, but it seems like the seals, some of the welds, and again, understand that this is a review unit. So, it's not like it's a brand new unit that we're testing out of the gate, but we did notice that once we had the controller ramped up pretty well, there was smoke coming like through some of the welds and stuff like that. And so for me, it was like, I was worried that the temperature was going to be very hard to control, but in fact it was not. And also most of the smoke that I saw coming out of where I would expect it to just go through the cook chamber and out the stack, but there was a bit of smoke coming out through the door. And that I think is a result of the design of the door. So just as a comparison, my stump smoker, the door is actually outside. So think of it like a refrigerator, right? You have a seal on the outside, the refrigerator closes on top of the cabinet portion of it. But what they did with the Old Country cabinet is they recessed the door inside of the frame. And so what I think is happening here is, the way the latch is designed, you can adjust the tightness of the latch. So, if you felt like your door wasn't tight enough, you could screw the bolts down and make it a little bit tighter, because they used the same gasket, the high heat gasket that my smoker uses. So I know the gasket works well. But the problem is, if you recess the door, you can only tighten down that latch so far, because you can't get past the frame, right? So on mine, I have a lot more leeway to tighten down the bracket or the latch, because it sits on the outside and it's pulling the door in. So I think that's a second little design flaw that I think they could probably improve on by just moving the door outside of the cabin, outside of the frame, as opposed to inside of the frame.
You know, I wonder how much, because with your smoker, if I remember, there's like two latches to close the door.
I have three latches.
And this has one.
This has one in the middle, but I think, so I think they can get away with having one in the middle because it's a recessed door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, mine has, you know, and Stumps has since changed this, where I had the two latches, which are standard. Then I added the slam latch, and the slam latch just allows me to slam the door real quick and it automatically latches itself in place. Now the slam latch is standard on the smoker. So, and that's, I like that little feature, because what happens is, you know, when you're, I'm wrapping a brisket, I'm not going to latch all the latches, but I don't want the door to remain open and lose all my heat. So I can take the brisket out, just hit the door real hard. It slams shut. It automatically stays closed and I can go take care of the brisket. So really cool feature that Stumps did. But so that's why they have three latches on there instead of just one. So that was the second negative that we found on this smoker. And then lastly, they do have a grease drain at the bottom. And my smoker does too. So that's at the bottom left. So essentially, the drippings on the smoker run down towards the left side. It kind of has an angle. It's angled down from the back, down from the front, and then down right to left. And that allows all the grease to kind of drip down into the out the little chute on the left hand side. And we would have just liked to have seen, I couldn't tell. It did have a pipe there that that it allowed to drip into, but we couldn't tell if there was a permanent, like, so on my Stumps, I have like a drawer slide, if you will, where I can put a standard 12 by 12 pan in there, and just catch all the grease drippings. I couldn't tell if there was one on that existed on there. So it's not that big a deal. You literally just take a aluminum foil pan, slide it underneath, and you're good to go.
Or a grease bucket.
A grease bucket. Yeah. But I couldn't tell if there was a permanent one. And again, this could just be a result of the review unit itself. Now, let me start talking about the things that I really, really liked about this smoker. First off, it was very spacious in there. No problem getting two briskets and a pork shoulder on there, and it could definitely have held a lot more on this thing. So, you know, for folks that are ramping up and trying to get a bigger smoke going in, definitely not an issue on this. Also, the second thing right out of the gate that I really liked is the chute itself was, it holds about 20 pounds of charcoal. Now, you never want to fill these things all the way up because you don't want to create a vacuum in there where, you know, you start running into issues with the airflow. But that's a pretty sizey amount of charcoal you can get in there. So that can definitely get you through an entire brisket smoke. And I had no problem with the amount of charcoal I added in there. I would have put in a 3/4 of the way up, which was what was suggested to me. And this thing went all night and into the next day without issue at all. And that's with the controller attached to it. The third thing that I really liked right out of the gate is I actually liked the way they did their chimney, their little chute for the XS, because it has like a lip on it. So when you can slide it out one way, but when you slide it all the way closed, because it has like edges that comes down around the side, it really seals it up. So that will save you charcoal, because that's one thing about my Stumps, that even though I'll close down the chambers and it does a really good job of shutting out the air, sometimes I noticed that it burned a little bit longer than I wanted it to. And I lost a little extra charcoal because, you know, I just think there's air still seeping through or out of that top portion, even though the bottom portion, I could be wrong as to why that happens, but I liked it. Anything that would allow this thing to close down, because another situation where you really want to lock off the air is if you have like a grease fire going on, because you want to lock out that air and get that thing to stamp out so you can get back to smoking your food. So those are the right out of the gate, just from a design decision, that I really liked. And the same thing on my Stumps, and the same things that on this on the old country cabinet, is the fact that you can swap out the wheels and put much bigger wheels. So the review unit that we had, they put bigger wheels on it. They're just, you know, pretty much
makes moving it so much easier.
Because we, I had a trailer to load it on and off, and I was worried, like, you know, the little hump on the end of the ramp was going to be trouble. It just rolled right over top of it. Was super easy because this thing weighs about 400 pounds. And so I was, you know, the concern about moving around went away pretty easily. But I would definitely, if you get one, I would definitely make sure you have a friend to help you move it, though, because, you know, it's still 400 pounds to get around. So now I think the number one thing, and I don't know why this was the case, but the number one thing that both Rod and I was impressed about was how fast it came up to temp.
Yep. And held.
I don't know what the deal is with this, because mine takes a little bit of time to get up to temp. This thing got up to temp so fast. And, you know, and I don't know, maybe it was the lighting method. So a couple episodes ago, we talked about how, you know, Mason Dixon and Kathy over there, the manager, was like, you know, there's two ways to light it. Obviously, you can use your torch method. But what we do is we take out the bottom rack. We put together a chimney with charcoal in it. We light it. We put it in the bottom rack. We put it on the bottom of the smoker, and we just let that thing go. And then what happens is it heats up the inside. And then you just, once that that chimney is ready to go, you dump it into the chute. They actually suggest you do it twice. I only did it once. You do two sets of those charcoals, and then you put in the extra charcoal over top of that. And, but even from there, I did it once, put the charcoal in over top, and then I hooked up the billows to it. And I'm telling you, probably within 10 minutes, this thing was already at like 225. So it heated up really, really well and really quickly. I was super, super impressed by how fast that thing came up to temp. Yeah.
Overall, like I say, and again, I know being a review unit, I didn't want to harp on this, but because of the leaking that we saw at the weld points,
yeah,
what I felt wound up happening when we were cleaning up the smoker to take it back, I had grease drippings that were down the legs of the smoker.
Yeah.
Which meant, like, while the grease was going through the grease trap, mind you, 99% of it was there because of the grease down the legs. I'm like, if this is actually a real problem.
Yeah. Or then just as a result,
it just makes more for cleanup. Or if you're going to put it in, you need to be sort of diligent that you don't just, you have a good mat that sits underneath the entirety of the smoker so that it makes the cleanups a little easier, to deal with. Like I say, for me, it held temperature very well. The concern I had was I felt while it held temperature well, when we cooked, we looked at the bottom of the rack of ribs and it felt like the
right side.
The right side of the ribs, which are closer to the firebox, underneath you could see, I mean, you really just could see a coloring difference on the ribs, where the ribs towards just the left side of that same rack of ribs didn't get the same color as the right side. So even though there's like a diffuser plate to try to help even out the heat throughout the smoker, I felt that it still cooked a little hotter on the right side. Now, all in all, I don't think that's a deal breaker. It's just if you are very cognizant to the coloring that you want on your ribs, and you just need to make sure that partway through the cook, you didn't just make the decision to flip
rotate them. Yeah.
But it at least, and again, in the review unit we were testing, it did feel like we didn't get a good even cook. Cause we noticed that on the ribs. We also noticed.
Yeah. We noticed one with a wrap in it. So we went ahead and flipped them as we wrapped them, we just turned them around. So it seems like there's a little bit of a hot spot on the right hand side, and that's good to know on any smoker. Most smokers do have a hot spot somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
And you need to know that going in. For me, my bottom rack, it seems to be significantly hotter than the rest of the racks. And even though I have a diffuser plate as well, but that's where most of the heat is coming in the first place. So it does make sense that it would be a little bit hotter. But from side to side, left to right, still relatively even, maybe slightly hotter on the right hand side towards the bottom. But on this one, it seemed like each rack was hotter on the right side. So it was just a little thing to note. But overall, would definitely recommend this smoker, because like I said, in the end, it's about the quality of the food. Can you make good food on this thing? And I would say, even though I had the disaster that I recovered from with the brisket was delicious in the end. The barbecue chicken I did on this thing, absolutely delicious. The ribs I did on this thing, I mean, the kids were like, yo, what did you do different to this thing? You know, Rod's kids super enjoyed the ribs. My family enjoyed the ribs we did on here too. And then the pulled pork, again, even though I had the mishap with the controller, this thing did its job, man. It made really good barbecue. And I think if I can make good barbecue on this, even through a mistake with the controller, then, you know, anybody regular could make could make good barbecue on this thing. Paying attention and doing their due diligence. So the one thing I would suggest, especially with pretty much with any cabinet smoker like this, I would suggest you do get a controller to go with it though. Because it's, even though it's built to allow airflow, and it's really set up to have a controller with it. The controller just makes it so much easier. It has the little pipe at the end with the air valve, and a lot of the controllers know that the manufacturers are using that pipe, at the end. I think it's like a 2-inch pipe. And so they're building their blowers, or they're building adapters for their blowers to fit into that pipe perfectly. So it's kind of a bit of a standard now, on those pipes, so that these different controllers all can support that type of pipe that they're using for the air valve. So all in all, solid smoker.
Agree. 100%. If anybody is looking to upgrade from a pellet style smoker or a green egg style smoker, and they want that, the beauty that you get with burning that wood and getting that beautiful smoke ring, for the money, it's just a great smoker.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
All right. With that being said, now let's jump into the core of our episode here, which is Mr. Ooh. Ashley decided to get himself into a predicament doing a big gathering for a group of people, and they needed 18
racks. Well, they needed 16, to be fair. They needed 16 racks, but buying ribs from Costco, they come in 3-packs. So I ended up getting 18. And then once you prep 16, what are you going to do? Look at the other two and be like, sit in the refrigerator. No, you got to prep the last two as well. So I ended up prepping and cooking all 18 racks. And plus I said, you know what? I will smoke all 18 racks, and then, you know, I can really pick the best of the best. Cause you know, sometimes you get these packages, these vacuum seal packages, and some of the ribs are skinny. You know, some of them are overly too fat. And they take longer to cook. And then, you know, you have every all ranges. And some of the bones are like literally, parentheses. So it makes cutting them a bit of a pain as well. What I mean is like the bones are curved. You know, a lot of like the high quality ribs, their bones are like super straight. And you can just cut right through each one and you're good to go. But oftentimes, you know, from, you know, Costco and stores like that, the bones tend to be a bit more curved in them. So I had an event that was helping out with, and I used my new barbecue and tech jerk rub, and along with the nice base of 50/50 S&P. And that was the plan, was to, you know, so there was a lot of logistics with this particular smoke that came into play. And so it was super interesting. First off, I had to drop the food off. I had to drop the ribs off. And the place I was dropping it off on a normal day would have took me about an hour and 15 minutes to get there. But the time they needed it required me to drive through traffic. And the traffic in the DC area is abysmal. And easily that meant at least an extra hour of travel time. So trying to get 18 or 16 racks of ribs to an event 2 hours away, but still taste good, required a lot of plan. I actually,
and be warm on delivery.
And be warm on delivery, because it was going straight to, where folks were gathering and going to eat. So I sat down with Rod and I was like, okay, let's just help me think this through to make sure I'm not crazy. And the one theme that came up was like, there's no way you can time this out where it's like, you know, cooked, ready, out the door. That just doesn't happen. So overall, the thought process was, I have to be done at least an hour earlier than when I plan to leave. So that, with that theme in mind, then it became the math of working backwards. So, you know, we've told you many times on this show, the whole 5-3-1 idea around, or was it 3-2-1 around smoking ribs is absolute nonsense. That'll overcook your ribs every time. So I know that for the most part, ribs on my smoker at most will take 4 hours, can be sometimes around 3.5. And the other decision was, do I want to wrap all of these ribs or do I want to just cook them straight through? Now, I like the way wrapped ribs come out because they are, you get a nice pullback on the bone where the meat starts to shrink on itself. You get that nice tenderness you're looking for. But, you know, for me, if you wrap your ribs, you must take them out and put them back in to firm up the outside again. Otherwise, you just wasted your time. As far as I'm concerned, you're not getting the full experience with your rib that you want. So really, the logistics of putting all that together is what came to play. And so I decided, you know, oh, and then finally, the amount of racks of ribs I could smoke on my smoker at the same time. So easily I can do 12 racks of ribs without thinking about it. But so I was like, I got 16 racks. Do I smoke 12 and then smoke 4? And then, cause I had some chicken I wanted to smoke for this event as well. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to do half and half. I'm going to do 9 and 9. That makes it simple. That way I don't have to, you know, rotate the racks because of that bottom rack being a little bit hotter than the rest of them. I could just put them on the top 3 racks and I know I'm going to get a really even, decent smoke. And one of the things that I did pay attention to was, you know, if any of the racks were getting further along than the others, I would absolutely pull that rack out and rotate it to a different section so that I just get more even cooking. But, you know, for the most part, and that has happened. I don't know, you know, sometimes you just get a different airflow or whatever. But on this particular smoke, it worked out well. So if I needed to be at this place by 7, I needed to leave my house by 5. I wanted everything to be ready by 4. I knew that it was going to be, I'm allotting 4 hours of cook time for each set of ribs. So that means the second set has to be on by 11:30, 12, no later. So that means the first set went on right around 7:30, 8 o'clock. So that was how I mathed it out and worked everything out. So then it was, make sure you have all your stuff you needed for wrapping right at the, on my outdoor kitchen counter, as well as a nice solid aluminum tray. So now instead of using like the regular food service, you know, aluminum trays that you put in the thermal pans, I've actually went out and bought a couple of aluminum trays that are, you know, professional grade, right? You would put those in the warmer. And the reason why is I got tired of wasting money with these aluminum trays when I can just use a real tray and wash it and reuse it.
So you went away from the disposable ones that you get at the grocery store to an actual solid metal aluminum tray.
That is correct. That is correct. It's already paid dividends for me as far as doing a lot of food and making things more, making things easier. And whereas I would have had a pack of 10 trays, I recently bought a pack of 10 trays. Easily, I would have ran through all of those by now. I still have at least 6 of them. You know what I mean? Because, you know, if I'm dropping off this food, I am going to use a tray for that. So we will add a link to the trays that I ordered. And I even ordered like the half size and the full size. They do work well. And what was awesome about that, right? Imagine taking like a foil tray and then trying to put 9 racks of ribs in it. That thing is going to be falling apart. The heat from it's going to, you know, compromise the aluminum. But having that big tray, it was just like nothing. You know what I mean? Stacked them all in there. So, and that's what I did. I stacked them all in that tray. I put that thing in front of me. I put my foil to the left of me so I could pull it out to the right. And you would think that you would just do one at a time, but I didn't do that. I actually pulled out all the foil, you know, each wrap, and I just stacked them on top of each other right out of the gate. Cause, you know, I wanted to get into a groove when it came to wrapping the ribs and actually, you know, and adding a little bit of extra seasoning and stuff to them. So what did I do? So essentially, once I had my 9 sheets of foil already pulled, I pulled each rack out, and then I put my brown sugar, a little bit of butter in there, and a little bit more seasoning on top. And then remember, folks, put the meat side down into the foil. Because you're basically trying to get that to now tenderize. Basting it in those fluids that are created from the butter and the sugar. And, you know, you want it to, you know, steam up. And so put that down. And then I just, you know,
I've always found the amount of like while cooking it the first, let's say hour and a half, 2 hours where you're getting that smoke ring. Mm-hmm. It's one thing. When you wrap it after you've got the color you want, and you wrap it up and you put the brown sugar, the butter and all that stuff in there, that does have a little bit of liquid in it. Mm-hmm. But the ridiculous amount of liquid you get when you open those ribs up that have kind of
rendered down
is astounding.
Yeah. So, and oftentimes I'll take those juices and I'll just open up one side of the foil and I'll tilt it into a pot.
Yeah.
Then I'll take that upstairs and add some brown sugar to it and make a glaze out of it and put it right back on the ribs. So now you got a smoky glaze that you created right from the rib juices that were created and cooked into that you reinforce your ribs with. I don't do it often, but I do it from time to time.
Yeah, I'll usually add it into like one of my the separators, mm-hmm, so I can get a little bit of the oil out of it, get mainly the flavor into it, and I'll add it to a barbecue sauce. I'll do the same thing you're doing, is put into the barbecue sauce, then glaze the ribs over.
But the glaze generally has the barbecue sauce of choice in there as well. So yeah, so here we go. First set of ribs are on, no problems. Everything's cooking down as expected. I am actually made 2 trays of macaroni and cheese, which was easy. I just did that in the oven. I did 2 trays of green beans. Now, the green beans were interesting. We'll probably have to we'll save it for another episode. But I actually ended up sous-viding the green beans, and they came out phenomenal. And you tried it recently, Rod, or did you not get to it?
Yeah, I did. I did sous-vide some green beans. Fantastic. I mean, you just can infuse a lot of flavor in with sous vide.
It's crazy.
Anybody who sleeps on sous vide for like green beans, potatoes, or your veggies, you can really infuse a mass amount of flavor that you can't get in any other way.
Yeah. And real quick, what I did was I bought some big bags of green beans, and I basically vacuum sealed them. And each package of vacuum seal, I put salt and pepper. I put my, sprinkled my salt and 50-50 salt and pepper mix. Actually, no. What I did was I took the green beans. I put it in a bowl. I seasoned the green beans in the bowl with some salt and pepper, a little bit of garlic and a little bit of onion powder. And then I then took transferred that into the vacuum sealed bag with some butter and some shallots. And then vacuum sealed that all together. And I just stuck those in the refrigerator when it came down for cooking. And if you folks remember, we had talked about using a cooler as your sous vide machine. And so I made one of those. And did you use it, Rod, recently? Did you use the cooler?
I did not.
Okay. Because I know you borrowed it, but you didn't use it. Or did you not?
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, so for the when I reheated the brisket?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I used it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have to talk about that later, another time. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So I used the cooler method. And I mean, it cooked all those green beans in one shot, absolutely flawlessly. 185 for 1 hour. And then all I did was in the end was I sauteed them and then in like some little bit of vegetable broth and then put them in a pan and seal those up. And those were ready and they were delicious. Absolutely delicious. So we had the green beans. We had two trays of green beans to do and we had two mac and cheeses. Those were done in the oven. No big deal or on a sous vide. So first rack of ribs, it was 2 hours in and I used a combination, and we've talked about this before, of using Siri to remind me to swap things around. And then our very good friend, Allison, from the Podfeed podcast, sent me a message because she had heard one of our episodes where we were talking about setting things up. And she hit me to an app called Multitimer. And this thing is actually pretty dope. The way it works. And essentially it has tons and tons and tons of different timers you can set up. But the cool thing is you can set up like a timer that is your entire process. So let me explain. I have a page that has four different timers on it. The first timer is wrap ribs, which is 2 hours, right? So basically it counts down 2 hours, it goes off, and that's when it's time for me to wrap the ribs. And then I have the timer set up for 45 minutes, which is unwrap ribs. So I can just basically sequentially just hit one. When that's done, I hit the next one. I don't have to go set up a separate timer. And then I have another one set up for another hour later, which is to, you know, unwrap the ribs. And then that goes back on the smoker for like another 30 minutes. And then it's remove the ribs. You know what I mean? So you could set up timers for your entire process for one thing. I really like this thing. It was, I got to play with it more to kind of see, the best ways to use it. But that's how I set it up for now, which is creating these different timers. And they have countdown timers, count up timers. You know, you can set all the durations. Really, really cool app. So
what called,
it's called Multitimer.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I use that in a combination of using Siri because I did not want any mistakes. So having multiple things telling me when to do stuff was not a problem. It's one of the advantages of having, an assistant throughout your house, because I'm in the kitchen, I'm yelling out, remind me this. I'm in my basement, I'm like, remind me this. I'm on my phone outside, remind me this. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter where I'm at. I can set a reminder and it's going to go off somewhere in the house, that I can get the benefit from. So, yeah. So definitely lean on your technology, when it comes to staying on top of your game. And making sure you're pulling things out and moving things out. So now wrap the ribs. They went in for like I don't like to wrap for a full hour. I usually do anywhere between 30 minutes and 45 minutes. I think to me, that's the sweet spot where it doesn't get overcooked. And I definitely didn't want them super soft and, you know, falling apart. So I took them back out, put them back on. And the way I did this, the way I was planning to do this was I had eight racks were going to be barbecue sauce and eight racks were going to be dry rubbed because, you know, I like both. And so my plan was the first batch of ribs that I cooked would be my sauced ribs because those would have to go back on in the end and get the barbecue sauce. So what I said is I'm not going to sauce them when they're, you know, at the end of their cook cycle. I'm just going to leave them wrapped. I'm going to take them out unwrapped. I'm going to put them in the warmer, and I'm just going to let them sit in my Caterade while the second batch of ribs cook, right? So the Caterade was holding on to those guys. The second batch of ribs went on, and this is where my first disaster came through. Crisis averted, but when you're, big tip, when you're cooking that much food, you have got to be on top of your rack cleaning and on top of your scraping, you know, cleaning out the extra grease and stuff out of the bottom. Because I had a grease fire that kicked into that bad boy. And I essentially, it got to be so bad that I pulled out the bottom two racks out of the smoker and had to set those aside, shut everything down. So until I got that thing to die out. And then what I noticed was there was just a huge buildup on the diffuser plate. So I grabbed my little scraper, scraped all of that off, scraped out the bottom. You know, I had to close off the vent so there was no more air coming in. So I was able to clean that up, take a rag and just wipe out any grease drippings that I was seeing, you know, along the sides and stuff like that. Put the racks back in. Now, part of the reason that fire happened was the charcoal chute. And this is, you know, you have to, if you go down the gravity smoker world, one thing you have to do, and no matter what, I've tried this with lump charcoal, large lump charcoal. I've tried it with small lump charcoal. I've tried it with briquettes, natural briquettes, of course. I don't want the chemical stuff. And inevitably, you're going to have a smoke where the charcoal just wedges itself in the chute. So you have to, and I just take a stick and just kind of either go up from underneath and just kind of poke at it till I hear it fall. Or I just, sometimes I can just hit it from the top and it'll fall. Right. But either way, periodically it happens. And so I just have a habit of just making sure that, you know, I feel charcoal in the bottom with a rod through the bottom, or I just, you know, tap it from the top just to make sure it doesn't happen. So what happened was because the chute was, it got stuck, the fan realized that it wasn't keep maintaining heat. So the fan kicked up to 100. And so when you have like the wood under the bottom, that, and then you have some charcoal falling through, it just overly heated the bottom of the diffuser plate, because that's the first thing it hits. So that diffuser plate was super hot because the fan was running so hard and was making so much heat, but it wasn't like the rest of the smoker wasn't getting so hot because it wasn't enough to push through the smoker. So when that grease hit that thing and then that opened the chamber, it was like, whoosh, you know, it came up quick. So just a little, you know, thing to look out for. I was on top of it because, you know, I know these things can happen. So I just removed the bottom racks, got everything under control, cleaned it out, put the two back racks back in, and everything was fine from there. You know, 2 hours later, wrapped it. Now, the one thing is, because I was smoking the chicken and I had boneless chicken thighs that I was smoking, what I did was I said, when I wrap, I'm just going to stack the top two shells with the wrapped ribs while I start cooking the chickens in the bottom two racks. And that worked out flawlessly because I was able to get all the chickens done pretty much in one shot for two trays of chicken thighs. And then by the time the chicken was done, it was, you know, because without the bone, it cooks super quick. I was able to move those and then unwrap the ribs and now put the ribs back on for their final cook process, which is, again, to give me a much better texture on the outside of the ribs, you know, hit a little bit more seasoning because this is a dry rub, so you get a nice bite. Took those off, put them in to rest, took the other ribs back out. Now it's time to sauce them, and I decided I was only going to sauce. So two things, I made a decision. When I'm cooking this many ribs, it doesn't really make much sense to butter both sides and brown sugar both sides. Logistically, it just doesn't make any sense. So what I did was I put the butter and the seasoning on the meaty side, put that face down in the ribs, and then wrapped it. I generally, if I'm making ribs for myself, I do both sides, but it's not really a real reason to do both sides. It really isn't, from my experience, because they still tasted absolutely phenomenal. And I, you know, it wasn't anything that I noticed that I missed from doing both sides with the butter. Same thing with the sauce. I went ahead and put a light coating on the bottom, but then immediately put the bottom down on the rack. And then I sauced the top, you know, pretty liberally. Now, one thing that I did was I did not put the ribs directly on my cook rack. I went and got one of my sheet pans and racked that, because with that many ribs, the mess, I didn't want a big mess in my smoker. Yeah. So it made more sense to tray them, sauce them on the racks on inside the pans and inside the trays, and then remove those out. And that to me was a smarter move. I didn't have a ton of cleanup afterwards. Didn't have a big, you know, sugary mess at the bottom, and that worked out great for me. And I do the same thing with chickens now too. When I'm barbecuing chickens, I get my racks, put the sauce on, and put them back in on a rack. On a pan in the rack, as opposed to directly on the grates on the smoker itself.
That saves a lot of time in cleanup. And we all know cleaning the racks on smoker on your smoker, or your grills really does suck.
Yeah. We'll do another episode on cleaning and deep cleaning and stuff, because of recently went through that again. And it was like, wow, man, this is a lot of work, but a couple of things I did to make it a little bit easier on myself. So all in all, the ribs came out perfectly, with the sauce glaze. And remember, folks, heat your sauce up first. Don't put cold sauce on warm ribs or on hot ribs. Secondly, you definitely want it to sit. Don't just put sauce on ribs, man. Put them back in the smoker. The sauce picks up some smoke. The brown sugar tacks up and sets it. So it's not messy. You know, it's just flavorful and good. So at this point now, I've got 18 racks of ribs sitting upstairs on my counter. I got my Barbecue and Tech butcher block. Thank goodness I have a Barbecue and Tech butcher block, because that thing can just hold, you know, as many racks as I need to. I can, you know, I had like two racks at the same time, and then I was like looking through, so like making sure I'm picking the best bones, out of the cuts, laying, you know, taking the ones that I like, I don't like the way this one, you know, kind of overcooked a little bit, so I could mix and match a little bit, stacked them inside of, now I'm using my aluminum tray, stacked them in the aluminum tray, wrapped them, put them in the Caterade, and then I was, you know, very, very impressed and happy with my performance, because literally walked out the door at 5 p.m. Got down there to the location before my friend got there. So I beat them there. There was only two people there. They were just starting to set up. Brought the food in the Caterade. I let it sit in the Caterade while they were finishing getting ready. They're like, oh, we should keep this thing. I was like, yeah, not keeping my Caterade. That's not going to happen. But I'm happy to let you guys, you know, I was that happy to wait for you guys to, you know, I was going to stick around anyway, because there's a friend of mine celebrating a awesome accomplishment for his wife. And then when it was time for the food to come out, everybody loved the ribs. Just absolutely loved them. People were just like, man, these are excellent. And I was, you know, extremely happy to hear that feedback. So all in all, you know, a massive, massive smoke. You know, last year I had the 90, you know, 100 pieces of chicken that I did. And then this time it was the 18 racks of ribs that I smoked, 16 that I delivered. That was, you know, logistically possible, because A, I do have an awesome, awesome stump smoker, and the size of it allows me to do this. But B, you know, just sitting down with my boy here, my co-host, and just planning everything out and just kind of really thinking through what I got to do in the process, when it needs to be done, and how logistically you can do that to get it out and get a solid, food out there.
Yeah, I know 18 racks of rib would never happen on my little small smoker. I would be coming over to your house, because I think I can get at max 3 racks on at any. No, I could probably get.
I think you can get
5 racks on.
Oh no, you have the top shelf too.
Yeah, so the top shelf, that. But it's going to be a very uneven cook going from top to right on top of the grate.
You just move them around.
Yeah. I think it's, again, regardless whether you're smoking 18 racks, you're smoking 3 racks, it's overall the same general process that you have to go through to make your food good. It's just, it's really about timing. So when you're, I think it, at the heart of it for me, when it always comes down to it, when you're trying to plan a party, it's stepping all your times back. And I think the biggest mistake we all make is that we want the food to be ready when people arrive versus the food to be ready an hour or so before people arrive. And my job is to keep the food warm between the completion. And because no matter what you run into, you're going to run into something that doesn't work well. Like you did a big smoke and you're like, my chicken takes an hour. Unless it has a bone in it, which you didn't account for. And
this means it takes 2 hours.
Yeah. You're going to run into something you didn't account for, whether it's you forgot that you were cooking this time with bone in, or the charcoal's not dropping in your chute, or you lose temperature in your smoker and you have to recover.
Oh,
if you have padding in your time.
Yeah.
All the padding you have in your time. Like if you pad yourself 2 hours, you have time to recover from that. But when you plan that the food is going to be ready at 6 o'clock when guests are showing up, and now you're an hour behind, like you're like, guests are going to be here and I got to tend to the smoking. So again, it's about back enough time. So I think, us sitting down with each other, one, trying to price out the cost of all the meat you're buying and making sure that, that works well, all the way to, what timing, time you got to leave, logistics, how long you got to drive, what the traffic's going to be like so that you can get the delivery.
And the thing is that doing the chickens last year really informed this year, right? Because last year, what I didn't account for? I didn't account for the time to actually take the chickens in and out, right? I was just like, this is my cook time. This will be ready. And like, add an extra 30, 40 minutes for moving the chicken around and taking it in, taking it out, saucing it all, doing, reseasoning it and all of that stuff, flipping them. You know what I mean? All of that takes time that I did not account for in my setup last time. So I already knew out the gate to account for that stuff, which worked out really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. We all, like I say, there's minor mistakes we make, but the goal is that each one of us either learn from our own mistakes, but hopefully learn from the mistakes of others so we don't repeat them. But thanks for taking us on the journey with you for your 18 racks of ribs. I'm sure there'll be other many massive smokes that you'll have in the future. I'm going to have to get myself into a bigger smoker, and I'm excited when we do our first one on this offset, because I'm really wondering what the experience is like. I will say my desire for a mill scale has gone down dramatically after we talked to Kevin. He's like, you put wood on every hour. I was like, it's not my style. Gravity fed might be where I'm going. We will see, but I still want to, nonetheless, I do want to give it the stick burner a try.
I've finally gotten all the little things done I wanted to get done. So now I can focus on firing up this bad boy and getting this offset rolling. So I'm really excited to use this thing.
All right. And this is the old Country Brazo, if I remember correctly, we have now that we're going to be testing out, which I've heard a lot about with a lot of the professional barbecue people. So let's give it our run and see what we think of it, man.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, folks. Thank you so much for bearing with us. We had the Thanksgiving, and the reason why we didn't do a Thanksgiving episode this year yet is because Rod and I did not do Thanksgiving together this year yet. So we are going to do a post-Thanksgiving get together. And for that, we'll record an episode where we plan like a shortened menu. So everything has always been like the full out menu. This time we'll do where we plan the shortened menu. We just haven't picked a date that we want to, that we're going to sit down and eat together yet. So our families just love getting together. So we're going to, even though we didn't do the actual Thanksgiving together, we are going to make this happen. And then I'll talk about the turkey that I smoked this year on that episode. So there we go.
Awesome.
All right, folks. We love you. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Peace.
We out.
Peace.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.